Take your Bibles today, if you will, please, and I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 30, Isaiah chapter number 30. The sermon today is quite simple. I think sometimes the simplest sermons are the most pungent ones. They're the most convicting ones. Isaiah chapter 30. Find verse number 1. Stand with me, if you will, please, out of reverence to the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 30, starting with verse 1, the Bible says this: "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." If you look back at verse number 1, right at the end of the verse, it says that they may add sin to sin. Now, I'll read another scripture, but let me make one statement. The sermon today is called "We Need to Confess." We need to confess. In that passage of Scripture, it said they're adding sin to sin. In other words, sin is piling up. There's no confession taking place. Let me read a verse to you. I'll read it out loud. It's found in Proverbs 28:13. You don't need to turn to it. It says this: "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." The sermon this morning is quite simple. It's called "We Need to Confess." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Take this simple sermon and get glory to thyself. May Jesus be uplifted. Might we put him in proper place in our lives. And Father, help us to be better Christians, better people, because we came to church today. Holy Spirit, there's no doubt in my mind that just by preparing this sermon, I have been convicted deeply. I pray, God, that the same conviction might be upon us all, so that we don't hurt ourselves and others, and especially you, by this problem of not confessing our sin. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. A man was in his home, and a couple of thieves broke into his house. And they said, "Where's your money?" And he would not tell them. They hit him, and he would not tell them. They kicked him. He would not tell them. They pulled his hair, said, "Where's your money?" He would not tell them. They tore his clothes. They called him names. They pulled out a knife on him and began to torture him with that knife. They beat this man with a bat. "Where's your money?" He would not tell them. Many hours later, you go to the local hospital and you find the man. He's now been through the emergency room. He's in intensive care. He's beat up. He's very sick. The police come in to question him. Make sure you look right this way. Don't let anything interrupt you. The police said, "Sir, what in the world took place?" He said, "Two men broke into my home, and they beat me like this." And they said, the police asked him, "Why in the world did they do this to you?" And the man said, "They wanted my money." And the police officer said, "Did you give it to him?" He said, I did not. And they asked him and said, "Well, how much money did you have?" He said, "Well, in my home, I had $1.25. Police officer said, "What in the world? You went through all of that for $1.25? And the man said, "To be honest, I didn't want my poor condition known." See, he didn't want to admit to himself what bad shape he was in. He didn't want to admit to others what bad shape he was in. Now, that story helps me with the subject of today's sermon. Many of us are going through a lot of pain. Many of you have troubles in your life right now. And I'll tell you why. You won't admit to your bad condition. You won't admit to the certain spiritual status that's going on in your life. We don't want to confess our poor condition. We don't want to confess maybe what's going on in our life, especially when it's bad and it's wrong. We don't want to confess our sinful condition. Hey, you ever feel like you pray and your prayers bounce off the ceiling and come back down and hit you on top of the head like you're wondering, am I getting anywhere? Hey, maybe they're not bouncing off the ceiling. Maybe they're bouncing off of unconfessed sin in your life. You know, the Bible says this, and listen to this very carefully. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, one of the reasons why people don't get their prayers answered in life is because they've allowed iniquity to be and stay in their heart. They pray, and God said, if you're keeping that unconfessed sin, when you're keeping that iniquity in there, you are hindering your prayers. It's almost like putting an anchor on your prayer. Unconfessed sin anchors your prayer and limits what can be accomplished. And it's not God's fault. It's our fault for not confessing. Folks, we need to see the importance of confession. We need to confess our sins. And the Bible has something to say about it. And you would say, that is silly. That man put himself through all that pain. That man put himself through all that inconvenience. That man, he set himself back in life because he wasn't willing to reveal his weakness, wasn't willing to reveal. All he had was $1.25. And you and I, as Christians, because we hold ourselves back in life, and we hurt ourselves. Why? Because we don't want to confess certain weaknesses. We don't want to confess the actual status of some of our behavior. Did you know it's still right to confess your sin to God? This is not a Catholic church in any way, shape, or form. I'm not a man that calls myself father that dresses like a mother. I'm a pastor. I'm a human being just like you. But let me tell you something. Confession is still right. You don't come confess to me, but you better confess to the Heavenly Father. Hey, Christian, when was the last time you had to look up to heaven and take a gander eyeball to eyeball with an almighty holy God and actually took the time to confess your sin? Stay with me, if you will. I almost called this sermon the sin of not confessing your sin. We're going to call it, we need to confess. But the whole concept, the whole truth of the sermon is that we sin because we will not confess our sin. I'm going to give you four very simple kinds of confession that are taught in the Bible. Number one, we need to confess what we have done. What we have done. And I'm talking about the individual sins that you and I commit. You say, well, Pastor, this sermon's not for me because I don't sin. Well, you just did. You just did. So now it does apply to you. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, plural, not sin, but if we confess our sins, that means there's sins that we commit. Listen to this. We give the devil the time that it takes to commit our sins one by one. But then we want to go confess them to God in a unit. I don't understand that. God, I sinned this week, forgive me, but wait a minute. On Monday, you gave the devil all the time that it took to sin on Monday. And on Tuesday, you gave him all the time it took to commit that sin on Tuesday. Same on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and on Friday, and on Saturday, and on Sunday. You want to come to God in 30 seconds and say, God, by the way, I sinned, I confess, please forgive me of it. It would seem to me that if you're willing to give the devil the time of the day to commit the sin, you'd at least take enough time to humble yourself and go to God and say, by the way, God, I just didn't commit a bucket full of sins this week. I did this wrong. I did that wrong. I did this wrong. I did that wrong. You would clean your life up a whole lot better if you would admit to the individual sins that you commit instead of thinking you can shove them all in an envelope, hand it to God and say, here they are, God, you know what they are. Forgive me, and I'll go on. We would be less apt to repeat the sin if you would confess your sin by name. There's somebody in here, you need to say, God, I cheated. Forgive me for cheating. God, I stole. Forgive me for stealing. God, this week I lusted. I looked at that woman. I looked at that man. I looked at that picture. God, I lusted. Forgive me of the lust that I committed on Monday. The average Christian today, they don't do it like that. They say, oh, by the way, God, forgive me of my sin. Okay, thanks. Bye. God, I hated. God, I gossiped. God, I lied. God, I lost my temper with my son. God, I lost my temper with my wife. God, I lost my temper with my husband. God, I lost my temper with my mother-in-law. Well, no, I don't think that's sin. God, I was at work and my pride got the best of me. And God, it was sin that my pride got into that situation at work. God, forgive me of my pride that I committed on Tuesday at work at noon at the lunch table. But you see, we are adding sin upon sin. Because it seems to me like Christians don't do much confessing anymore. I said, number one, we need to confess what sin we have done. Dr. John R. Rice, at the end of his day, would take out a piece of paper and he would write every one of the sins he could remember having committed that day. He would write them. He would then, on his knees, take that list and confess the sin he committed one by one to God. When he got to the bottom of the list, he tore it up. He went to the great white throne, which is located in a special room in your house. He put that paper, those confessed sins all tore up, he put it in the throne and gave it a flush. By the way, that's what God does with them once you confess them. I was praying one day. Brother Nossinger was with me. I prayed a long time. Brother Nossinger asked me, he said, preacher, you're praying a long time. I said, I'm confessing sin. He said, oh, I'm sorry. A little later, he said, this is a really long prayer. I said, I know, I'm confessing sin. He said, but preacher, I said, I'm not confessing mine, I'm confessing yours, Nossinger. Now let me get this over with. Do you all realize that throughout the day, though we're trying very hard to serve God, and though we're trying very hard to do right, throughout the day we are sinning against our God. He is far more holy than what we give Him credit for, and we are in far worse shape than what we will realize about ourselves. And it wouldn't hurt us at the end of the day maybe just to stop and look back on how many stupid, unscriptural, unkind, wrong things that we did and confess them. I really believe that we are adding sin to sin in Christianity today because we give the devil the time to commit them one at a time, but we won't confess them one at a time to God. And I think God deserves that we point out to Him that we know what we did wrong. Too often we don't confess. We should confess individually the sins that we're aware of committing. But it's almost as if we commit a sin and we don't confess it, and then another one on top of it, and then another one on top of that, and another one on top of that. And in Isaiah it said these people are adding sin to sin. And if the Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. One of the things that's bad on you and I is when we have a bunch of unconfessed sin in our life, we are hindering our prayers. We've added sin to sin. Adam and Eve, you know the story. Adam came in late one night. Eve said, confess up. Confess up, Adam, where have you been? Eve said, it's another woman, isn't it? It's another woman. Adam said, it is not another woman. You're the only one for me. He said, I know you tell me that, but it's so hard to believe. You know how women's emotions are. That is so hard to believe. Adam said, look, lady, there's not another woman. I don't need to confess there's another woman. She said, you worry me, Adam. You worry me. He said, I'm going to sleep. He woke up about an hour later, and she was poking on his chest. And he said, Eve, what are you doing? She said, I'm counting your ribs. May I say, number one, we need to confess our sins that we commit to God and at least give a moment to having admitting that we committed them. Confess your sin. Anybody here this week have to go to God and say, God, I sinned against you. I did it. I'm guilty. Number two, we need to confess what we are. This is different. We need to confess what we are. Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6 says that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know, the committing of sin does not make you a sinner. It reveals what you already are. A sinner. Let me say that again. The committing of sin is not what makes you a sinner. It is a revelation. That is a revealer of what you are. You are a sinner. Psalm chapter 58, verse 3 said, the wicked are estranged from the womb and go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Folks, I'll tell you something. Here's what we spend most of our time doing. We spend our time comparing ourselves among ourselves. See, we only want to confess the sin that is obviously worse than our peers. But when we say, God, forgive me for what I have done, that's the first point. God, I did this. It's sin. Forgive me. I confess. It's sin. Forgive me. But when we do that, folks, you have to understand something. Those individual sins, that's only the beginning of confession. Say, how so? I think we should ask God to forgive us for the individual sins that we commit, but I think we ought to ask God to forgive us for what we are. Then what are we? Sinners. We're sinners. So you say, oh, I got it all confessed up. If you didn't, you say, I committed 10 sins this week, Brother Owens, and I've got them all confessed up. Did you take the time to ask God to forgive you for what you are? Say, well, what am I? I'm a sinner. You say, but I confessed it all. Well, that didn't make you pure. So you know, you confess it all. Did you know what you still are? You're a sinner. You should not only confess what you know you've done. It wouldn't hurt you to come to the reality of what you are. I never forget the day that God drove this home with me. I've been working very hard at confessing my sin to God. I'd gone to God and I said, God, I was a little cross with my wife. And God, that guy that he, really, you saw, he got in my lane. He didn't use his turn signal, but I honked my horn and I did that in pride. But, you know, it was his fault, God. But I'm confessing just in case. And I'd gone through. Boy, I started to get up off my knees and it's almost like God struck me down. There was an element of pride in my life and I could feel it in my thinking. I said, you know, I just got that all confessed up. I feel pretty good about myself. And God said, get back down there. And I said, but God, I confessed everything. He said, you really think you're something, don't you? You just picked out 10 stupid things you did this week. You're worse than that. You think you can pick up on everything you did? God said, you're a sinner. Might be a good idea for you just to be reminded and say, God, forgive me. Not only for what I've done, forgive me for what I am. Folks, we should not limit our confession to only the sins we know that we're committing. Here's what I do. I'll tell God all the sins I can figure out that I've committed. And then I say, and God, I'm not for a moment thinking that's it. Will you just forgive me because I know what I am? I'm a sinner. See, two kinds of sinners, saved sinners and lost sinners. That doesn't change. Don't convince yourself that you're only a sinner because you cussed. Don't convince yourself that you're only a sinner because you cheated. Don't convince yourself that you're only a sinner because you lusted or fornicated. No, you lied because you are a sinner. You cussed because you are a sinner. You cheated because you are a sinner. You lusted because you are a sinner. God said, Jeff, you really think you're something because you were smart enough to pick up on the times when you dropped the ball spiritually this week. But if I could say something to you, Jeff, you confess away, but you better just get right down to the brass tacks of the whole issue. You're a sinner and you need me, and you might have figured out some of the dumb things you did wrong, but it's worse than that. You're a sinner, Jeff. Oh, was I humbled. Matter of fact, I got a little cocky and arrogant about trying to keep up with the sins that I'd committed. And I'm going to keep on confessing them one by one, because if I'm going to give the devil the time to commit them, I need to give God the time to confess them. But in the end, I just want to make sure I get the whole thing covered. Then I say, and God, not for a moment do I think I picked up on it all. I know what I am. I'm a sinner. I want to do this. Number three, what we need to confess that we don't know everything we ought to confess. See, I need to confess the ones I know about. Then it'd be a good idea for me just to confess that I know I'm a sinner, and that's why I do that stuff. And then thirdly, we need to confess that we don't know everything to confess. Psalm 19:12 says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Psalm 90 verse 8 says, "Thou hast set our iniquity before thee. Our secret sins are in the light of thy countenance." You see, here's what we're saying here. God, you're so holy. I'm so wicked. I don't even know all the sins I committed. See, remember, number one, the ones I know about, I need to confess them. Number two, I need to remember the reason I did it is because I'm a sinner. I don't want to think that just because I sinned a little bit, now I'm clear. Oh, no. The root is I'm a sinner. That's why I committed those. But then it might be good for me to understand there are in my life secret sins. You say secret sins? Now we're not talking about you snuck around. They're in this building. A crowd this size, somebody, you were sneaking around. You've committed sins and you were sneaking around. And your mom doesn't know the truth. And your dad doesn't know the truth. Or your husband doesn't know the truth. Or your wife doesn't know the truth. Or your parents, they don't know the truth. Or your boss doesn't know the truth. I don't think that's necessarily what this is talking about, your secret sins. I think it's talking about sins that we commit that we don't even know we're committing. Do you realize the degree of holiness of God? Do you know you and I do things that are against God? Well, now, we didn't wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I think I'm going to do something against God today. Here I go. No, you got up in the morning and you went and did something. You didn't even know it was against God, but it was. Why? Because the degree of extreme holiness that He requires, and the low level of living that we're responsible for, and the weak caliper of understanding of His holiness in our life, there are times when you and I commit sins that we don't even know we're committing. Now, I'm glad they're not malicious against God. I'm glad they're not rebellious where we're saying, God, I'm going to go do this. Nah, 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 nah. But did you know something? Sin is still sin. Say, but I didn't know it. That's okay. Here's what you do. You get out here on Highway 70, and if you didn't know it, you could get to traveling 80, 90 miles an hour, and you don't see a speed limit sign. The police officer pulls you over. The police officer comes and taps on the window and says, roll your window down and need your license and registration, Mrs. Owens. Oh, I'm sorry. I have these flashbacks, you know, these flashbacks. Okay, so the police officer comes to your window, and he says, sir, do you know how fast you were going? And you say, sure I do. I was going 90 miles an hour. And he says, That's against the law. You say, I didn't know that. I did not see a speed limit sign. Now, here's what he'll do. He'll say, oh, that's okay, ma'am. But if you didn't see the sign, it's okay. You may go free. Now, is that what he'll do? No, you've all been pulled over before, haven't you? No, you know what he's going to say? The law is the law. And in your weakness, if you did not see the law, that is not the law's fault. And you will be penalized. Now, I think there is some mercy and there is some grace in on our behalf from God when we commit sins that we don't know we're committing. But I'll promise you, in everybody's life, under the sound of my voice, you did something this week that was wrong, and you didn't even know it was wrong. And that because God is so holy, and we know so little about true holiness, we committed it, and wrong is wrong. So it might even be a good idea that we go to God and say, God, I confess what I know, and I told you I was a sinner, but I'm just sure there's some things I've done. I didn't even know I was doing them. I'll tell you something else. My recommendation to every Christian here, the faster you confess, the better off you are. Well, for a variety of reasons. But there's one good reason. Because you forget. Boy, we are running around with our construction project here at the church. Somebody would walk up to me and say, Pastor, could you do this for me? And I'm thinking, okay, my mind's going about 15 different ways, and you want me to pastor do this for you, and I want to be a good pastor, and I want to do that. You know what I have to do? I almost have to go do what they need me to do immediately, because I'll get busy about a bunch of other things, and I'll forget what they needed me to do. And it's best that I get that done. It's better for me. It's better for them. It's better for the whole project. So rather than putting it off and hoping to remember it and get back to it later, I better take care of it right now. Now, let me tell you. We all, and as you grow older, you more and more stop depending on that memory, and you say, yeah, let me tie my shoe now. Yeah, I better, there are other things I'd recommend. You better just do it now so you don't forget and embarrass yourself in life. But let me tell you something. If that's important that it's done now so it's not forgotten, could I recommend to you that when you sin against God and you know you've sinned against God and you know it needs to be confessed, that you stop and as soon as possible you say, God, I did it, I confess it. Why? Don't you think the devil would like to come at you with 10 other things and get you busy so that that unconfessed sin goes unconfessed and you never did admit to God you knew you committed it? I wonder how many times we knew it was wrong and we were sorry that it was wrong, but we never took the time to confess it. We're going to get to it later. I just recommend the sooner you confess, the better. It's a little bit like your finances. Can I recommend to you? The sooner you pay your bills when you get them, the better off you are. The more you delay and the more you procrastinate and the more you put it off, the greater the chance of the procrastination causing an eventual issue. And they pile up. And they pile up. Oh, and you go spend some of your money, but you're going to pay that bill. But, you know, you'll frivolously spend some money here and there, and before long, you can't pay them. You got this all piled up, and you're about ready to pull your hair out, and you say, my life's falling apart, and there's so much pressure. What happened? You stacked bills on top of bills, and now it's all getting to you, and you can't figure out how to take care of it. You have been smarter paying it right away, taking that money away from yourself, doing what was right with it, so it couldn't be floundered in other, not necessarily bad ways, but not the right way for that bill to be paid and when to be paid. Now, wait a minute. With that in mind, what we do, the Bible talked about in the book of Isaiah, they're adding sin to sin. In other words, they're not confessing, and it's piling up, and it's piling up. And before long in life, you're frustrated. You can't get your prayers answered. You're not making advancements in life. You're a little bit depressed with it all. You're not having victory in life. And I'll tell you why. Because we sin, and we don't confess, and we let it all pile up on us. Puts a pressure on you. Puts a pressure on you emotionally. Just confess as soon as possible. We need, though, to confess that sometimes we don't even know what to confess. Let me tell you where you make a mistake. I think we make a mistake because we forget that we did something wrong that needs confessed. So the sooner you do it, the better off you are. Sometimes we don't even know that we committed a sin because of the extreme holiness of God. But I think this. I think that sometimes We don't, okay, in your Bible reading. Could I recommend to you that you pay real close attention while you're reading your Bible? While you're reading your Bible, God will convict you about sin in your life while you read your Bible. If He does, you ought to confess. If you'll read through your Bible and not be convicted and not confess, you know what you're doing? You're adding sin on top of sin. You're writing right. Hey, look, if you're fornicating, if you're committing adultery and you read about it in the Bible and you won't stop and confess and get your heart right, you know what you've done? You've added a sin on top of a sin, and it's going to pile up. It's going to overwhelm you. Listen, not only while you're reading your Bible, let me tell you, if while the preaching is going on here in church, can I recommend to you that if God convicts your heart about something in your life, that you get it confessed and taken care of? But don't make it into a coincidence that the pastor mentioned that and that sin is present in your life. It may be Almighty God being merciful to you, coming to you and saying, get that right. You know how many people walk out the back door of church and they didn't confess one sin while they were in church? You came for the entertainment. You went to hear my wife and daughter sing a song. You like the way I teach the Bible or preach. You like the spirit of the church. But when was the last time you used the altar and got on your knees and said, God, I'm a sinner. I did wrong. I see it. You convicted me. Well, you don't need to do that. Because you know what we'll do? We'll commit our sins and we'll take all the time that it takes to commit them. Then we'll just go to God every once in a while and say, by the way, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all that. You know what I'm talking about. Just forgive me all that. And I'll go on in my Christian life. Well, if you'll give the devil the time to commit him, can't you give God the time to confess him? And it'd be a good idea to confess everything that you know that you did wrong, then confess that you're a sinner, and confess that God's so great and you're so lowly, you can't even figure out everything that needs to be confessed, and really get this thing cleared up. If not, you will load yourself down spiritually. You will load yourself down emotionally to the pressure of all the unconfessed sin may collapse you. I'm almost finished, but let me say this. There's another confession. I said, first of all, confess the individual sins you commit. I said, secondly, you could confess that you're a sinner. Thirdly, you confess your secret faults, meaning the ones you don't even know you're committing because He's so great and we're so bad. I know that's hard in this day of being politically correct. They don't want anybody to be told they're bad. People are bad. People sin. God's holy. God's all good. It's hard for people to accept today, but whether they like it or not, that's why our nation is crumbling. There's no difference between right and wrong. But there is a right and there is a wrong, and the Bible determines what that is. But then fourthly, there's another confession. It's called the confession that comes at salvation. See, at salvation, you've got to confess that you're a sinner that can't save yourself. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, folks, when you get saved, you don't have to confess every sin you've ever committed. Because if you had to, you couldn't. Because He's too holy and we're too dumb. And you can't even remember them all. So at salvation, you confess that you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. He's a Savior that can save you. That's what you do at salvation. You come to God and you say, God, I know what I am. I'm a lost sinner that can't save themselves. And you're the Savior. And I want you to save me. Now, heaven's available to you. Four kinds of confession. Your individual sins, the ones you know. Two, your status. I'm a sinner, period. Even if I confessed everything I knew, I'm still a sinner. Number three, my secret faults. The ones that I commit, and He's holy, and I'm not. And I don't even know what to confess sometimes. But I know He's holy, and I'm not. Number three, the confession that comes at salvation, which is to admit you can't save yourself, and He does all the saving. The man was in intensive care, beat to a pulp, barely hanging on. And really, what was the issue? He'd gone through a beating because he would not confess his situation. Folks, there are people in here. You could take a burden off of yourself if you just learn to confess. Just learn to confess. Not to me. Although, there are times when Christians ought to confess to each other that we've wronged each other. The Bible teaches that very clearly in the book of James. But the ultimate confession is a confession from God's people to God. You say, but he already knows. I know. You say, he already knows what I did wrong. I know. He wants to know that you know, and he wants you to obey that he told you to come tell him you know, and to come tell him you're sorry. You say, why? I don't know. He wrote the book. You just obey the book. Yours is not to question. Yours is to obey. You say, but he already knows it. You're too big for your own spiritual britches. If he said confess, you ought to just confess. People in here, it's been a long time since you've actually confessed. I mean, you faced the sin point blank, named it to God, and said, I did it. I was wrong. I sinned. I wish we'd take care of that. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you ought to say, I need a Savior today. I'm a sinner that needs someone to save them. If that be your case, I hope you'll do it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question will be to those that have never trusted Christ as Savior. If you are under the sound of my voice and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, if you've never confessed that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, if you've never been saved, you ought to take care of that today. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I do not know that I'm going to heaven. I do not know that I'm born again. Pray for me that I would be saved. I don't know that I'm saved, but I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be born again. Okay, good. You've heard the sermon today. I will not belabor the thought of the invitation. I'll just tell you this. There are people in this house that need a moment on your knees. There's somebody in here. Hey, you say, well, I don't have time to confess everything. I'm in a backlog. How could I do that all at church? Maybe you just need to take enough time to get on your knees and say, God, I'm convicted. I've got some work to do. And God, though I might not be able to take care of it all right this second, today you're going to get some of my attention. I'm going to actually point the sin out that I know I committed, and I'm confessing it. I'm going to stop doing the bundle program. You know, this isn't Sudden Link with a bundle program for you. God, I'm going to stop bundling it all up and saying, yeah, you know me, God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. And you took a 15-second spurt of energy to try to get some forgiveness. How about you actually tell him what you did and you confess it? Who here would say, the Lord spoke into my heart about this confession issue, and I've got some things I need to do in regard to it. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. You may put your hands down. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, you come. We'll help you to make it public. If you want to get baptized, we can arrange for that. You let us know. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, you want to become a member of this church, you come and let us know that as well. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. You come, young person. You come, sir. You come, ma'am. Do you need to come and just get on your knees for a second and say, you know, God, it's been a long time since I've confessed. I mean, I sinned and I admit that I did it. I kind of take advantage of you, God. Okay, Brother Edwards, are you the altar worker? I think we need your help right here. And she'll probably need a name taker then. And then Mrs. Young, why don't you help here? Mrs. Owens, if you come up here. And Mrs. Young, if you'll help me right there. And just make sure. Okay, good. Thank you, Brother Uriah. You can help me a little bit and make sure that those decision slips are ready for us. And Julie, I think I will need your help right here on this side. And Brother Nossinger, if you want to make your way over here, you can receive the Pine family that are coming. Look, you sinned. You did wrong. Confess it. And I think sometimes we minimize our sin toward our God. Yes, once you're saved, you're always saved. Indeed. But you say, well, then it, you know, whatever I do is not a big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a sin against God. It's wrong. And I go back to that statement that I made. We'll give the devil time to commit the sin, then we won't give God the moment that it takes to actually confess that it was sin. If you're on your knees, you take the time to pray. If you need to go to your knees, you come. It might be as simple as you need to come and say, God, I've got a backlog. I've not really confessed like I ought to confess. And God, I'm going to confess. And maybe later today you're going to need a little more time. You know, it probably wouldn't hurt all of us to do what Dr. John R. Rice, the famous evangelist, did. He take the time at the end of each day and write down all the things that he did against God during the day and face them and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I did it. I committed it. The police officer said, why in the world are you in such bad condition? Why did they beat you like that? He just didn't want to confess his condition. I think there's a chair right there in the corner if you need it, Uriah. I'll save those right there on the front row maybe for a second if I've got this family to see. And the altar's still open. You still have time to come. If you're not saved, you say, Pastor, I don't even know how I'd confess all those sins. I know I need to be saved, but boy, am I in bad shape. You know, God already knows that. And what God needs you to confess is that you know you can't save yourself and that Jesus is the Savior. And you come and say, God, forgive me of all those sins. Come into my heart and be my Savior. That's the time when God goes for the package deal. But from that point on, He wants us to admit that we know we're wrong as Christians. It's just like forgiveness. God gives you forgiveness, Christian, from now till the day you die. God just like to know that you know the deal that you're getting out of this thing. The whole concept is the sin of not confessing our sin. This is the last time through the song.